This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. The weekend is near. I have a feeling you're ready for the weekend, Nicole. I just get the sense.
A little bit. I'm ready.
Yeah.
It's been a long week.
I know. I was sick at the beginning of the week. You're sick at the end of the week. You okay, Sean?
Silliness.
You doing fine?
I'm doing okay. I'm just sick and tired, man.
There you go. Well, let's just get through this. Let's get through this great afternoon because we have put a fantastic next couple of hours together for you. All right, let's get into the Fastest 15. Oh, this is good. I told you so. I should have asked you to pull the clip, Nicole. Do you remember when the Mariners signed James Paxton a few months ago? And I said on this show, that's a lot of money for a guy who can't stay healthy. It was just a quick passing
comment. Vaguely, I remember that.
Yeah. And because when people get hurt a lot, they don't seem to suddenly get healthier as they get older. So the Mariners gave James Paxton $8.5 million base plus $1.5 million in incentives. And they just found out that he blew out his forearm in the game a couple of nights ago. And so one game into the season, James Paxton's year is done. But baseball contracts, of course, are guaranteed. And so James Paxton this season made $354,000 per pitch. Think about that. The first batter of the game's up, and you throw a fastball inside corner, strike one, $350,000. Curveball misses outside, $700,000. Fastball down the middle, ripped into left field for a single. $1,050,000. Three pitches into the season. That's a pretty good return on investment for the Mariners
right there. And then, is his career over? You think he just gets a much smaller deal when he recovers? And
well, then you can recover from out. Tommy. He's going to get Tommy John surgery, which is has been very successful. It was first performed on Tommy John back in the, I think it was the 80s. And he had a very long, successful career after that. But it was kind of a pioneering surgery. I don't even know how it works. I think they take a tendon from elsewhere in your body, down near your butt or your thigh or something, and they put it in your forearm. And you can pitch. There are a lot of guys who have had successful careers after Tommy John surgery. So, yeah, he might come back. But I would never sign somebody who gets injured as often as he does. But what a snake bit franchise the Mariners are. As, there's another $10 million that just vaporized with that injury. So, it's too bad. It would be fun to have a competitive baseball team, but we haven't had one for 20 years now. It remains the longest playoff drought in all major sports. NFL, NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball. No team has had a longer playoff drought than the Seattle Mariners. And
I'm not hearing the excitement that I sometimes do around baseball, but especially now I've heard from quite a few people that are not watching baseball this year because they're very mad about Atlanta. So it's really shocking to me. I didn't think that I would get that from some of the people I've gotten it from.
I absolutely have. And this is the problem. And we talked about it a couple of days ago. Just from a pure business standpoint, pulling the All-Star game out of Atlanta was horrible business because 70% of Americans want voter ID at election time. 70%. The majority of black Americans want voter ID. So Major League Baseball, and then they moved the game to Colorado, which has even tougher voting restrictions than the new law in Georgia has. In Colorado, you have 15 days in which you can vote. In Georgia, you have 15 days in which you can vote. I'm sorry, Colorado's 15, Georgia's now 17. So it is more restrictive in Colorado, where they moved the All-Star game. And then also, you know, the big, you know, lie about all this was, well, they're doing it. Georgia's doing this to disenfranchise black voters. So what does Major League Baseball do about it? Well, they punish black people because Atlanta's 51% black. There was going to be a $100 million infusion into the Georgia economy. And Denver is 7% black. And now all that business, all that money is going to go to Denver. So everything that Major League Baseball did on this was just phenomenally stupid. And, you know, between, you know, United Airlines, we're not going to hire the best pilots. We're going to hire pilots based on diversity. And Major League Baseball doing this. What we are seeing is pro sports and industries killing themselves because they are so desperate to appear woke.
They're so easily manipulated. It is shocking to me how easily manipulated people are.
It really is. Yeah. And so these businesses are killing themselves. United Airlines. I've had so many people tell me they're selling their United stock. They're not going to fly United again. If United says we're not going to pick pilots solely based on their ability, but we're going to mandate 50% of our pilots meet some diversity standards, that's not comforting to people when they're riding at 35,000 feet above the earth. You want pilots who are picked solely on their ability. So United's killing itself. Major League Baseball's killing itself. The NFL, I've heard from so many people that the NFL's focus on social justice issues has just killed enjoyment of that sport. And on it goes.
I want to see the studies or reports on how well this has worked for businesses, how wokeness has worked for a business, because I don't think the data is there to support that. I just don't think that this is working for anyone, and they just continue. It's interesting. I don't know why they keep making these decisions.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And then especially when you have people like Herschel Walker, legendary running back at University of Georgia. He may run for Senate as a Republican, and he's one of the most popular people in the state of Georgia because of, you know, how fantastic he was as a college player. He had a great NFL career, too. And he's also somebody who's been very vocal and active in the African-American community. And Herschel Walker has a great idea of how to deal with everybody's fear that elections are too easily manipulated when you don't have the voter ID.
And then I said, you know, what's so strange about it is I have all these companies that coming out, putting it down. They don't have an ID. People don't have an ID. And I'm saying, guys, why don't you guys? And I put myself out there right now. I'm saying it right now on your show. I put it out there and I said, okay, why don't these companies that have been talking so much that want to do that, why don't they help Herschel Walker to help these people that don't have an ID to get an ID? Meaning whatever we have to do, whether we have to get buses, whether we have to get other things, whether we have to go fill out the paperwork and help them to get an ID and not keep complaining about it time in and time out, because I believe in empowering people, not always, because in today's world, you have to have an ID to do anything. You know, you have certain companies that you need an ID to even get into their office. But yet they say something different from anyone else. So I said, I believe in empowering people, meaning let me help you to get to where you want to get to.
There's somebody who's speaking common sense. And think about this with Major League Baseball. If you buy tickets and you pick them up at Stadium Will Call, you have to show a picture ID to get your Will Call tickets. But Major League Baseball believes that you should not have to produce a picture ID to vote. None of this makes any sense. And I'll give you another example of how these corporations are just twisting themselves in knots. CBS, they, as a company, they're owned by Viacom. And as a company, CBS took a stand against the Georgia voting law. CBS supported Major League Baseball pulling the All-Star game out of Atlanta. And what is CBS televising all this weekend?
You recognize that music as the 85 Masters Golf Tournament is underway this morning in Augusta, Georgia. It begins under a cloud of controversy over Georgia's restrictive new voting law, as we've been telling you about all week now. Major League Baseball moved the All-Star game out of Atlanta last week in response to that measure. Viacom CBS, that's us, is one of the many companies publicly opposing the voting law. CBS Sports will broadcast the Masters as it's done for more than 60 years.
Wait a second, you stinking hypocrites. So CBS Viacom tells Major League Baseball, pull the All-Star game out of Atlanta. And then CBS Viacom is going to spend all weekend televising a sporting event out of Georgia, the Masters. Again, this is comical. It is just so insane. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're watching every single day here. I played a soundbite in Awesome Audio yesterday, and I wanted to talk a little more in depth about this because there's been a great debate about what Shaquille O'Neal did. So Shaquille O'Neal was at a jewelry store in a mall, and he saw a guy buying an engagement ring. And Shaquille O'Neal said, I'm going to pay for that, which is very cool. But and somebody recorded it on their phone and put it up. And so Shaquille O'Neal wanted to explain why he did that on the TNT NBA coverage a couple of nights ago. And so the question is this just a wonderful, warm story? Or should philanthropy be done just in private, not to give yourself big congratulations in public? So here's Shaq telling you about what he did.
Anyway, I went in there to get some loop earrings, and I seen the guy come in. He was just so shy. He was saying, hey, how much do I owe to pay off my ring? It was just, and I was like, my man, how much is the ring? And I'm not going to say the amount, but yeah, it's not enough to me. But I just, you know, and this is something that I do every day. The other day, me and my mom went furniture shopping. And this lady, she had a autistic daughter. Mm. And, you know, she was also, you know, looking to pay for some furniture. And I just took care of her. So I'm into making people happy. So whenever I leave the house, I just try to do a good deed. Like, I didn't mean for that to get out because I don't do it for that. But, like, the guy just came in and, you know, he's a young kid. He's a hardworking guy. He's like, hey, man, I can come back next month or the next, like, way away. Like, he put the money down, but I was like, you know what? Tell your girlfriend I got to take care of it. At first, he didn't want to take it. He's like, no, I can't do that. I said, don't worry about it. I do it all the time. So I'm just trying to make people smile. That's all.
Just trying to make people smile.
I think which you're is cool. Way too hard on him for this one. I think he does it every day.
I said there's great great controversy about it. I do believe that philanthropy should be done not for self-congratulations. And, you know, I know there are a lot of people in our business, there are a lot of people who love to talk about what they do philanthropically because it makes them look good.
Well, there's awards given for how philanthropic you are as a company like that.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. I just, you know, I prefer to do philanthropy in private, but I would love to have Shaquille O'Neal's kind of money and to be able to buy a woman's furniture and be able to buy a kid's engagement ring and all of that. I think that might be the
best part about having that much money is being able to do stuff like that. I mean, I just want to get to the point where I have enough money to just always cover a bill when I go out with friends. Yeah. Wouldn't that be right. great? You know, that's where I want to be. But I don't think he does it for the attention. I think he genuinely does it to make people smile. And I think that he explained it here in that way to encourage others, to make people smile every day, to make that a goal. Yeah.
I think that just sounds fun. I think it's and it is fun to do that.
And he didn't have a photographer following him that recorded that, like other people we know. But
Other people recorded on their phone. All right. Next up in the Fastest 15, there was another Asian American hate crime that was in our region that is being charged now. And guess who the perpetrator was? It was somebody who was a regular demonstrator at Chaz Chop. A Black Lives Matter protester has now been charged with a hate crime against Asian American women. This guy, his name's Christopher Hamner. Seattle police arrested him last month. He threatened a young Asian woman and her young children when she tried to drive past him. He opened his door and started yelling, "Bleep you, you Asian, bleep, bleep you." And then he pulled in the parking lot and came charging at the woman and the children. And this is somebody, according to Channel 4, Hamner often was seen protesting with Black Lives Matter last summer, although he does not appear black. I've seen a picture of him, and he may be mixed race. I do not know. But Channel 4 says he was seen protesting at Black Lives Matter last summer and that he posted himself videos on social media demonstrating at CHOP, the autonomous zone. So the beat just goes on with the craziness here in our region. And all of that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, it was one of Seattle's most iconic restaurants, and he was one of our most iconic restaurateurs. And he's back. We'll talk to him next here on the Dory Monson Show. I'll never forget my first limousine ride. I was 15 years old. We had a bunch of friends in my high school, Ballard High, three guys, three girls. We rented a limo. We told the driver, take us to the best place in town. And he took us down to FX McRory's. Proprietor Mick McHugh, who joins us here in the Dory Monson Show. Mick, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, listen, nice to talk to you. I remember that night. You guys are big tippers.
Get out of here. You do not remember that night. Did you start McRory's, Mick?
Yeah.
Mick, my limo ride was 44 years ago. And you were running a restaurant 44 years ago, an iconic Seattle restaurant?
Absolutely. That's when we opened.
How old were you when you started McRory's?
Hey, we're not talking about age today. We're talking about ideas and moving forward. Well, tell me how old you are. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm just flabbergasted because you must have been a very young man. And you start this iconic restaurant. The whole region was sad when FX McRory's went away. What was that, about 4 years ago?
Three and a half years ago, yeah. Okay.
So we talked right when you were having to close down, and you told me you were going to find another location, you hoped, down in Pioneer Square. I'm guessing, given what's happened to the economy and the restaurant industry in particular, I'm guessing that would have been fiscally disastrous if you had found a place a year and a half or 2 years ago.
Thank you. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I'm grateful every morning, believe me, that I didn't find it. I looked at 16 different places in Soto and Pioneer Square and none of them, for one reason or another, came together.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful now.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, so the reason you are back in the news is you are going to open a new place, but it's not in downtown Seattle. Tell my listeners about the new joint you got going on here.
Yeah, and a joint it's going to be. We got a heck of a place planned for up at Northgate. So the Kraken, the NHL hockey team that will be playing in the West Division, scheduled to start in mid-October. The season begins, and God willing, and we are going to open up the Kraken Bar and Grill on the second floor of that training facility in around Labor Day is what we're shooting for.
Okay.
And it's great because it looks down on two ice rinks. You can come in there. Anybody can come in and watch the Kraken practice. No charge anytime they're in town. It's fabulous. There's going to have kids leagues, adult leagues, figure skating. The place is going to be buzzing. We're going to be open every day of the year for lunch and dinner and late night for bar. 17 screens in there to show you all the action. And, yeah, it's going to be a heck of a deal, I'll tell you.
So it was the Kraken organization that approached you about this?
They did, yes, they did. So I've been minding my time and keeping my thumb in things by running the Cathedral Kitchen up on First Hill, where we serve folks every day from 4 to 4:30 substantial meal.
Yeah.
And they caught me up there and said, how would you like to come help us do this Northgate deal? And, you know, I have a lot of respect for those guys. They, you know, Mr. Bonderman, I mean, he saved the Seattle Center with this building. It's been a huge development, a huge investment in Seattle. That light rail is going to end up at Northgate opening in September as well, which is another big, huge plus.
Right.
So,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so we're going to move the needle out there.
So are you going to try to recapture the FX McRory's vibe, or is this going to be something entirely new and different?
It's going to have the McRory spirit at this point. Perch is a design deal that outfit that has a connection with them, and they've kind of put all the nuts and bolts together. And we're going to, you know, kind of get a team and take it from there.
Wow. This is, you know, it's hard for me. I grew up in Seattle, grew up in Ballard, spent a lot of time at Northgate. And it's just so hard for me to envision what's going on there. But this is a pretty substantial remaking of our city. I do recognize that.
It is. So remember, wasn't Northgate the first mall on the West Coast, I think, or West?
It was.
Mississippi? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So Simon Group owns all that property, owns the mall, and what I've learned is they have been the most aggressive any of these big retail mall owners to diversify from retail to other uses.
Sure.
Around the country, you know, housing, office buildings, et cetera. So that's what they're doing there at Northgate now, diversifying. Around the hockey training center, Kraken Center, they're going to have another big couple, you know, half a block of apartment buildings.
Okay.
A new office building go up where the Nordstrom building used to be.
Yep.
Yeah, it's transformational. And I think it's all driven by light rail. And, for them to have a hockey deal in their development is really wild.
It will be. So does the Leroy Neiman painting come with the deal?
Well, we're talking about that. We'll see.
Really? Why does there even have to be a conversation? I would think that'd be an automatic. Why wouldn't you do that?
I mean, it's an expensive piece of art, right? I mean, Jesus, there's a guy in gold for half of it. I'm not going to just be putting that up on any walls. So we got to have a little security, et cetera. So we'll see.
Okay.
So we just kind of got rolling here. So we got a lot that we're working on. And, yeah, so we might surprise you.
Okay. All right. And so I need to know before I let you go, the first time I walk in the place and I ask you for a recommendation, what am I gonna have to eat?
Well, you tell me what you want me to put on the menu. What did you have at McRory's?
I you had pretty good prime rib, as I recall.
Right.
Didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we sold a lot of prime rib. You're absolutely right.
All right, I'll get a slab of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Give me a 40-ounce prime rib, medium.
You wouldn't make it home.
That would be tough. I used to be able to do that when I was 15. I can't do that anymore. Okay. That's not only was my first limo ride to McRory's, but my wife of 33 years, when we first started dating, she was a hostess at McRory's for a short time.
I remember that.
You keep telling me you remember all these things. You didn't know me back then.
You told me this story before too.
Did I? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if you remember that, what did my wife look like?
Oh, beautiful.
That's all you have to say. You're right. Okay, you do remember it. You have her pegged. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to this, Mick. You've always been an important part of our city and our region, and it's fun to have you back in the game here.
Yeah, thanks, Dory. Well, I love Seattle a lot, and, we got to have fun, and why not?
Why not?
Yeah, let's go for it, and let's have some fun, and we're going to do that at Northgate.
All right, and it's called the Kraken Grill, is that right?
Kraken Bar and Grill.
Kraken Bar and Grill, okay, got it. Well, Mick, I'm looking forward to seeing you there. I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Yeah, okay, all the best.
All right, same to you. Mick McHugh, you remember him from FX and Glory's, now the Kraken Bar and Grill. You can text me. Give me your thoughts, 98973, and lots more straight ahead here in the Dory Monson Show. I'll tell you in the big lead at 2 o'clock about the CDC's effort to once again keep our kids from playing sports. It's unbelievably damaging. And I want to share with you our friend Chris Egan at King 5. He did a beautiful story that aired yesterday on the Fife High School football team. And the character that sports at its best can build. And I just texted Chris to tell him how beautiful his story was. But I wanted to share a little bit of it with you in case you did not see
it. It was a true blessing. Because there were a lot of people who were losing hope for us. A lot of people didn't really believe that we would have a season.
Kent Nevin has coached at Fife for nearly two decades. He's won his share of games, but for Coach Nevin, the wins are just a byproduct.
As a teacher, as an educator, as a coach, you want them to think of other people, not just themselves. And that.
Okay. I love coaches like that. Because that's what coaching is at its very best. It's about teaching people to not think of themselves. Think of your team. I think of Frosty Westring down at PLU, who became a very dear friend of mine in the years before he passed. And when the power was out in the dorms the weekend that freshmen were arriving at PLU, he sent a message to all the football players: get to the dorms. We're going to carry these kids' stuff up. Sometimes four or five stories in the dorms. And all the football players lovingly, willingly did it. And great coaches instill that kind of great character.
And that's exactly what his 16 seniors did.
I think that's what made me the proudest, is you have kids who are servant leaders, kids who are giving of themselves, kids, family honor service. And that's what we talk about here. And that's what they were doing. And they put themselves behind. They said, no, we're going to go do this for somebody else just to say thank you.
Nate Woodward.
Okay, so the question is, what did all these kids do to say thank you to somebody who is special in their lives? And that's the really cool part.
Nate Woodward is a night custodian at 5. A custodian could be a thankless job cleaning up after hundreds of kids every day. But Nate does it with a smile, and the 5 football team took notice.
Like, he's always been there for us, and he deserves the most. I got all these years, I remember just walking through the hallways, him just saying, hey, hello, how are you doing?
He's had a big impact on all of us.
He just always cares for them, so they want to do something special for him. And the seniors are the ones who came up and said, we want to have a night for him.
At the last practice of the season, the players surprised Nate with some gifts. Nate fought back the tears as the Trojans showered him with love. After some fist bumps and thank yous, the team had one more surprise. They put their pads and helmets away and picked up brooms and spray bottles and went to work.
So we're going to make sure that we take care of your gym. We're going to make sure you take care of your locker rooms. We're going to set up the gym for you in the morning.
Nate's been there for us like all these years, and we're like, oh, we should just clean the school. Like,
okay, this is so cool. And then, you know, the video, you should go watch the story. They have it up at king5.com. But the kids, they get the spray bottles, and they're spraying down all the surfaces, doing all the stuff that the night custodian usually does, and just gave them a night off.
All of us were all for it, especially when the idea came up. We're like, oh, yeah, for sure. Like, we need to get that done.
They shined the floors, the doors, they took out the trash, and wiped down pretty much every handle in the school. It was just one night after one practice, but it's a moment Nate Woodward will never forget.
Oh, it means a lot. It means a lot. Almost teared up there for a minute.
It's always good to give back to those who've given to you.
You guys have a good one. I really appreciate it.
I almost cried, too, seeing him in tears. And so it's just, it's always love around Fife, and you could always find love and family around here.
In Fife, Chris Egan, King 5 Sports.
Yeah, really nice job and nice story that Chris Egan did, but congratulations to that coach at Fife High School and to those kids, because and this is why I've been so passionate. You've heard me talking for the last year with Brock Heward, who is so passionate about this. I think it is simply outrageous that we have kept kids from playing the sports they love, not just for athletic reasons, but because it does instill character. It, for many kids, it saves their lives. I think literally, in some cases, kids who otherwise are not motivated to stay in school and to keep their grades up, but they want to be eligible to play. And so that saves their life. I know kids where sports may have literally saved their lives. So I'll tell you in this big lead coming up here that they may take this away from the kids again. Right after they got sports back in their lives. We'll do that and much more in the big lead coming up right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show.